How crazy is that? All right. Mark is going to edit too. So, hello, friends. Normally, you would be seeing my husband doing these types of things, but this is a special Radulich in Broadcasting podcast that is being hosted by me, Melissa Radulich, with my bestie, Miss Elizabeth Faust. And we are coming to you today because we have watched the Black Widow movie. We have enjoyed the Black Widow movie, and we decided over some beers that we need to share with the world our takes on this movie as women, as mothers, as educators in our world. So today, that is what we are doing. We are going to be discussing Black Widow. So hi, Elizabeth, how are you?
Oh, I'm so excited to be here. I'm such a big fan of Mark's podcast and all the stuff that they discuss there. So I'm excited to get to contribute in this very small way to some current entertainment.
I was going to say, and truthfully, it's like one of the first times I've ever done this. Normally I'm with Mark and he's like running the show. And so now it's me. It's kind of a little bit strange.
You feel empowered?
I do feel empowered. Like now I get maybe why he does this. So as we said, we were looking at the movie today, Black Widow, that has recently come out from Marvel. It's the latest in the Marvel movies, which I know, Elizabeth, you're a huge fan of those, which is what kind of prompted this too. So before we even start, let's get a brief overview. Elizabeth, tell us kind of in your own words, tell us what the movie is.
All right. So, this is the Black Widow story. I would not say necessarily that this is her origin story. I know everybody kind of talked about this, but this is sort of an interesting spin maybe on her origin story. We got to see some holes be plugged about Natasha's background and where she comes from, how she's trained. And we also get a little snippet of her family life. The big plot line throughout this entire film is this evil empire that sounded very cliche, this evil empire that is farming out women assassins, female assassins, and how they are being manipulated both chemically and neurologically so that they will carry out whatever kind of evil plan the man behind the desk has for them. And the objective here is to free those women from that oppression. And in the process, there is some freeing of other people and a lot of action and definitely some self-discovery. So yeah, it has an interesting storyline. It's super easy to watch, but also has a lot of depth to it.
Yes. In all truthfulness, I completely agree with you. I've only watched it once, but Mark saw it multiple times because of course he had to see it the day it came out with our children. So he saw it that time. And then we had the pleasure of going as families, your family and my family. We went together and enjoyed it. And he actually even shared with me in the car. He's like, the second time I watched it, he's like, I definitely saw some things and thought of some things I hadn't thought of in the past and all that. So it's definitely, it's one of those ones where I feel like, I think like with any Marvel movie, and to be completely honest, every time you watch it, you pick up something different or you see another thread that they're trying to weave. And I love, and that is actually one of the things I think that has been so awesome about these movies when I do watch them, because I'm not the biggest fan of them. I don't watch them all. But what the ones I do, I'm like, yeah, you see the golden threads. And I love that. I think that's important.
So I was thinking prior to this conversation that we're big fans of the Avengers movies here in this house. And my husband and my daughter and I can kind of watch those on repeat constantly. But when I look at the individualized stories, one of my favorites is the Captain America Winter Soldier movie, because I feel like there is a huge amount of interesting action, like new action that hadn't been seen in any of the other films, as well as some really complicated storytelling. And this movie, this Black Widow movie, to me felt as good and as complicated as that. There was interesting action, not just like traditional massive fight scenes. And there was also, depth to each character. Not as much as I would have loved, because that's one of the things we did talk about. I wanted them to dig a little deeper on some of the other characters, but the storytelling here in this one is really great.
Yes, too. And I totally agree. And I love, so I'm not the biggest feminist in the world. This is very evident. I mean, in all truthfulness, which is hysterical because, you know, with my daughter, who Mark's community knows, she is feminism. Yes. That is not me. I am perfectly happy in my role as wife and mother and being that doting person. And I don't feel the need to necessarily go out and empower women to fight their battle. I'm kind of the, and I can never say her name right, the antithesis of Gloria Steinem.
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You know who I'm talking about. So, yeah. But that's me. But I think that in its own right, that's kind of a form of feminism. I like my role and I don't want to be told that my role is bad.
I think that is feminism. I think feminism is like the ability to choose whatever you want.
That's so okay. That was kind of what I was going to say is one of the things I loved about this was this idea of women are this completely renewing resource that we have an abundance of and are constantly regenerating. And so they're ripe for the picking and the manipulation. And I loved that they were trying to kind of go after that and be like, no, we don't need to manipulate. The ones that want to do this are going to do it.
Yeah. What does he say in the film? He says like, this is a natural resource we'll never run out of.
Or yes, something. That's yeah. Oh, can I call
these young detached women?
Yep. And when he made that statement, my blood boiled.
Yeah.
Which I don't normally have reactions like that, but I was like, that's not okay. Because I never thought about it. And then I realized I was like, but it's true.
Right. So that scene in the movie, which really happens in like the latter half of the film.
Yeah. The end.
Black Widow is having one of those like villains, you know, the villain's like monologuing about his plan and she's like trying to figure him out and kill time. Right.
Yep.
Which is like super necessary in any kind of superhero good versus evil movie. And that line though, is the reason that I wanted to take Caroline to see this movie. So I know I'm generally pretty protective and conservative about what I allow Caroline to watch. She's only 7. And so even like last night we were trying to pick a movie and I was like, well, why don't you watch the trailer from Jurassic Park, Jurassic World, the new one with that. And we watched the trailer and we were like a minute in and she was like, no, too scary, right? Like, so I'm careful about what she sees. This was really important for me. I needed her to see this. I wanted her to hear those conversations. I want her to start understanding the way that men talk about women as if they are some sort of disposable resource. I also wanted her to see Scarlett Johansson in this fiercely powerful, physically engaging, aggressive role, because my daughter is an athlete and is super aggressive. And I wanted her to understand that like, that's not something she should be apologetic about. So from a overarching umbrella, like there were a lot of things that I really wanted my kid to start like seeing and
internalizing.
And this movie didn't disappoint for me. It exposed her to a ton of different women, because that's one of the other things that we talked about, is that it was a hugely female cast.
Yes.
So all of the heroes were female and were critical thinkers and were, you know, super engaged in everything that was happening.
There
was
intelligent, you know, the intelligence level of the women to me was really amazing. I mean, you have the scientist, you know, who's developed these things and trained these pigs. You have, you know,
her mother.
And was a mother. Yeah.
Actually, who was also a secret agent spy type of person.
Yeah. Which I love, by the way.
As a working mom. Yeah.
I was like, I would never be that fierce as a mom. Well, no, but.
Oh, but it is good to see your mother doing something significant with her life.
Right.
In a different way than just raising you, which is so incredibly significant as it is.
Yes.
That was a really cool element too. And that's Rachel Weisz in that role, who I loved in The Mummy in the 90s. Because if you think about it, like,
oh, I didn't realize that was her.
Isn't it her? I feel like it is.
I feel like you're right, but I don't
know. isn't she married to 007, to David Craig or whatever?
I think she's married to someone.
Yeah. Powerful. Yeah. Okay, I Googled it. She is married. She is British actress.
Yes.
She is married to Daniel Craig. And I called him David Craig. His name is Daniel Craig. Yes. And she was in both The Mummy in 1999 and The Mummy Returns. So she was sort of like an original girl adventurer. I mean, she's a little more damsel in distress in that movie because it's the 90s and Brendan Fraser.
We weren't enlightened at that point in time.
Yeah, exactly. But she's, you know, it's not like this was her first time playing that. That brings me to another point. One of the things I really liked, so I told Mark before we went in that I tried really hard not to spoil this for myself. Like I watched only the trailer that was released on television. I did not dig deep on YouTube. I did not look at set photos. I didn't do anything like that. I wanted to experience the movie in this like completely immersive first time way.
Yeah.
I feel like if you do too much research ahead of time, it like kind of strips the magic.
Yes.
So like, that's how excited I was about this movie. And that's how much I love Marvel movies. I'm like, I want the Marvel magic. And so I was then pleasantly surprised that while Scarlett Johansson is such an important part, obviously it is her movie. Rachel Weisz is huge. Mm-hmm. Florence Pugh is huge. Almost to the point where I feel like Florence Pugh kind of like overshadows her.
I was going to say that. She almost stole the show, which
I think that's okay because Scarlett Johansson is kind of done. Does that make sense? Like the clip at the end of the credits shows us that Florence Pugh is now
going to take up the mantle
into the Marvel universe going forward. And we know that we're going to see her in the future. So I don't know. And it was also sort of symbolic, this whole like big sister, little sister thing.
What I was going to say. I love the varying levels of relationships in this.
Yeah.
You know, you do. You have that big sister, little sister. You have the mother, daughter. You have protector of the weak. Because, you know, then I start thinking about how, what was the motivation? They wanted to free the other Black Widows.
Right.
And I loved that. I loved that that showed, yeah, women, we are compassionate for one, you know, for each other and for the ones we love, but we also look out for each other.
Well, and I feel like that's maybe something we kind of glossed over. Like that really is the objective here, is that like early in the film, we're introduced to them as a spy family and we think they're a real family.
Right.
In the United States. And then we see them sort of dissolve into this like spy facet. And we kind of quickly see the girls become child assassins.
Actually, I was gonna say, that was the thing. Mark and I got into a big conversation about that whole montage at the beginning, because he said, one of the things he said to me was, when he first saw it, that montage, he didn't understand it. He was like, what is this? And then he realized the second time around, because he paid closer attention to it, it was showing you the training of the two girls and how these two
and all girls, the other girls in the background.
Right, because it wasn't just these two girls, like it's an army of women.
I think they had to be careful about how that was done from a child trafficking standpoint. I think as a society, we're really...
It could be a little triggering.
Right now, well, yeah, it's extremely triggering. And I think it's important that we don't glamorize child trafficking in any way. And so that montage, which lasted, I would say, between 5 and 7 minutes, it might have been less than that, I think was the most they could have done.
Yeah.
To show the traumatic nature of their training, but also not glamorize anything that we don't want to make look appealing to our young daughters who were in the theater.
And I think that they kind of kept going back to that tree though too, because if you think about it, both women kind of kept going back to, you stole our lives from us, you stole this from us, you stole our childhood, you stole. And I agree with you. I think that is another level of this that maybe, you know, people don't think about, is the impact of child trafficking, which is a real issue. Like, we focus on women, but child trafficking is a real thing.
Right. And I mean, I feel like that's what this became at the end too, seeing all these women like funneled out in this system. So beyond this beginning portion here, where we start to understand their history, we were talking afterwards at dinner over beers about how this film was sort of done in three chunks.
Yeah.
The first chunk was like very dark and heavy and serious. And then Marvel did an incredible job of sticking humor right where you needed it. Like almost to the point where the movie gets like too dark, then all of a sudden things start to be a little bit funny. I have a sister, I have an older sister. And so there were a lot of conversations between Yelena and Natasha as sisters that were very funny to me. There's like a hilarious scene where they're in a gas station and she asks her like, why do you pose like that? And
yes,
she,
like, I loved that part.
She basically makes fun of her. And then makes a joke about how, you know, when Thor gets in a fight, he probably doesn't have to take a Tylenol after. Like, there are just little quips here and there that seem to lighten the mood so that you're not emotionally exhausted by the time the movie's over. The introduction of their parents back years later is also extraordinarily well done. I have to tell you, the scene where they break their father out of prison is my favorite scene in the entire movie.
Yes.
If you've not seen it, this is enough reason to go see the movie.
Oh my gosh, it was fantastic. Like,
it is a woman piloting a helicopter.
A decrepit helicopter.
A terrible helicopter. And another woman hanging from a cable at the bottom of this helicopter during an avalanche to rescue a former superhero man.
Yeah.
It was like I remember looking over at my husband and being like, this is the reason that I want Caroline to see this movie. Like, this concept that not only can girls do anything, but there was like nothing apologetic about it. It wasn't like, oh no, I don't think I can fly this helicopter. It was
I need a man to help me.
Right. It was like, of course I'm going to fly the helicopter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And Natasha's like, well, of course I'm going to jump down this cable and save this big fat guy.
And that brings me to what I was thinking. Okay. So you and I talked about this a little bit beforehand. One of the things, because I noticed on social media that Black Widow was kind of getting people weren't saying positive things about it, which I didn't understand because, and I'm not a clickbait person. Like, I'm not going to see that and be like, oh, I need to go read that.
Right.
So I asked Mark, I was like, Mark, you pay attention to this stuff a lot. What's the issue? And he goes, well, Melissa, who reads comic books? I was like, guys. He goes, yeah. He goes, tell me about the guys in this movie. I was like, one was a big fat old guy and the other was evil. He goes, yeah. So you have two male paradigms in here. And we made them cliches. He likened it to his Italian grandmother when he was growing up would always get super angry in movies because Italians were always mafiosos. And he goes, and that was just a lot for her. And he goes, that's how men are feeling about this. He goes, yeah, you as a woman are looking at this going, girl power, this is awesome. He goes, the men who are the bulk of the comic book fans are looking at this going, what do you mean we're nothing important in this? We're a bumbling idiot and, you know, the evil guy who takes over women. Like, that's not okay.
Yeah. Yeah, there's no place for a male hero in this film. There's no place for male-driven discussion either. So, like, when you're watching them plan some of their bigger attacks, the plan is done entirely by the females in the film. It's executed almost entirely by the females in the film. There's actually a scene where her father doesn't know what to do. And so they say like, oh, well, go fight the robot girl. Like, just find, entertain yourself while I do the real work.
Yep.
And I feel like it's kind of payback for every movie, and I love Die Hard, but it's payback for every Die Hard movie and every horror movie where the girl is in the corner going, what do we do?
And she's all big boobs and
there's none of that. Right. Yeah. Exactly. Like the Bond girl look. Now, that being said, I don't want to be too hard on that because I love a smoking hot girl in a bikini as much as the next person, right? Like, yeah. I love that for you. And I think that there is value in being beautiful. I just don't think there's as much value in being beautiful as there is in being smart and efficient and proactive.
And that I think is that's the disconnect for people. Do you know what I mean? Like, the men are mad because we put them in a box and you're either an evil guy or dumb.
Right.
Or friend zone.
In boxes for freaking ever.
Yeah. Or friend, because that was the other thing Mark made the point of. The only like positive male in the movie was friend zoned.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay.
Her supplier or whatever.
Right. The supplier guy. And I was like, okay. So for my entire life, you're either the princess damsel in distress or the ball busting bitch.
The night before the battle.
Right.
Think about Indiana Jones, for example. again, I like Indiana Jones. I like her. But like, how often is he in some African bedroom somewhere with some babe before he has to do some sort of mission the next day?
Right.
There's none of that crap. None of it.
Even thinking about like romantic comedy movies that we watch, you know, the women characters in those, like, they're never strong, badass women. And when we try to do that, it fails miserably. Like, so I'm thinking about,
because they come across as a bitch.
Yes. Okay. I was a huge fan of the Janet Ivanovich Money series. You know what I'm talking? Did you ever read those?
I don't. No.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So it was the Stephanie Plum novels by Janet Ivanovich. And it was this woman from New Jersey who, through losing her job and everything, becomes a bounty hunter. Okay. And they're fantastic books. They really are. I mean, so different from what I've been reading currently. But they're
really the romance novels. So yes, I would say yes.
But these are good. But on all truthfulness, Elizabeth, like, you and I joke and share books with each other, but these are actually really fun. So the Janet Ivanovich, Stephanie Plum novels, but she in the books is like this badass girl. And like, she uses her sexuality to get what she needs. Sometimes it backfires on her, but I love her for it. Well, they tried to make movies of them back in the mid-2000s. I want to say it had to have been after 2009 because Mark and I were together. And they had Katherine Heigl playing Stephanie Plum. And it was so terrible. Like, yeah. Oh my God.
They weren't well done either, right?
No, they were terribly.
And they didn't do well.
Right.
I was actually, while you were talking, I was thinking about another example of a time when a fierce female has not done well. And they're both Jessica Chastain movies.
Mm.
One of them is the film Molly's Game. Have you ever seen that? Kevin Costner has seen that with her.
Okay.
She runs like a high stakes poker ring, gets herself into some trouble with the Russian mafia.
Oh, I never saw it, but I know what you're talking about.
She is this incredibly beautiful, fierce risk taker. The movie did not do well. And then she more recently was in a movie called Ava, which was the story. It had John Malkovich in it, where she was a female assassin going through some emotional things along with killing all these people. The movie is also completely fierce and completely fearless and didn't do well. It is this idea that James Bond can't be a woman.
Right.
And well, I feel like the Black Widow film has challenged that and said, this is Marvel's version of, I think my husband said, this is Marvel's version of Jason Bourne, but it felt more like 007 to me.
Yeah.
Or at least the beginnings of 007. I know that this movie technically goes between Civil War and Ultron, right?
Yeah, I think so.
But we don't see her again until Ultron, but there are so many examples of times when fierce women have not done well.
Yeah.
And I think the Marvel magic is part of the reason that it did well. And to be fair, I know you were talking a little bit about like the sexy Bond girl in the gold bikini or Princess Leia at the feet of the disgusting troll guy. But the costuming in this film was also really well done. They were not sloppy.
I said something to Mark about that. I was like, you know, what I loved is at no point did I feel like their bodies were being
exploited.
Yeah. Like,
they all still looked incredibly sleek and
sophisticated
and beautiful.
I have never wanted red hair with braids much in my life.
Right. I mean, and they're not in superfluous costumes. It's not like she's in a different spandex cat suit every 20 minutes,
no.
But there are some costume changes. Everything seems to have a purpose. You know, I was reading somewhere that over the years, Black Widow has been significantly less sexualized in and stuff like that over time.
I feel like
I definitely felt like this movie did that well.
I'm sitting over here looking because I feel like I've seen some of Mark's comic book covers with her, like older ones. And like, it's the plunging jumpsuit.
Yes. With deep V, lavalier down to her belly button or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So I was trying to look see real quick if I saw one and I don't. Actually,
the element of conversation that you and I are missing. I'm not a huge comic book enthusiast.
Like, look at this, you know, like,
Although homegirl on that side in her Navy uniform is looking pretty conservative. So.
Yeah. But then, but I mean, come on.
Although Wonder Woman, like,
yeah, like this is what, this is what we see when we, it's sickening, the comic books over here, by the way.
So we're not huge comic book people. So our connection though, is that my
perfect
husband,
example.
Look at that.
Perfect example.
Like, look at her abdomen. Like, right. That's not possible.
No.
But like, look.
She's got the longest torso on the planet.
Wow. Look at the distance from her knee to her ankle. Supergirl has like the world's longest legs, too.
Yeah. This to me, by the way, is more damaging than any Barbie doll ever was.
Absolutely.
Just on a side note.
Yeah. So what I was going to say though is, you know, my husband's interest in Mark's podcast is more rooted in wrestling because, you know, kids growing up in the 90s, everybody loved wrestling. And my background is in drama, is in theater. So of course I love film. I'm a sucker for a good story. But now that my kid is into these comic characters in series, I've just started purchasing some of the books that Mark, one of the books that Mark sent me this week, that you and Mark sent me this week. So of course I'm going to get into them now. I'm learning you're never too old for comic books.
Nope.
So I'm going to try to kind of get into them now. I think maybe once I've read some Black Widow comics, I'll have different feelings maybe about the film. I think if you're a big comic book enthusiast, you probably feel different. I've tried to look at this just as like a moviegoer and a film lover and a mom and say like, this is the sweet spot. I do have questions. These are questions that like, I feel like kind of go into the void. These were things I was kind of asking Mark at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
I have questions about like, what are we supposed to assume happens to Black Widow's family during the snap, during like the Thanos era? Because in, I think it's Endgame, she's sitting in the office at the Avengers compound eating a peanut butter sandwich alone in tears because she's telling Steve Rogers that this is her only family, that she doesn't have anything else.
Yeah.
And then later in Endgame, she and Clint Barton, Hawkeye, battle it out for the Soul Stone. And she justifies her own self-sacrifice around the fact that Clint has a family and she doesn't, which confuses me a little bit about this story, because at the end of the Black Widow film, we see that her sister is very much alive and is visiting her, Natasha's, grave. And so it makes me wonder, you know, if her family just disappeared in the blip, then surely she has to know that if she can get the Soul Stone, they'll come back. And this may be like a self-sacrifice, like Clint Barton has children and his children need him and she knows that. But there's definitely a lot of conversation with Black Widow about her not having a family, because that conversation comes up again after they all return to the compound and they're standing out by the lake and Bruce and everybody are talking and somebody asks like, oh, did she have family? And Steve says, yeah, us. And I'm like, wait a minute, but we just saw a whole movie that says she does have a family.
And that was actually, if you think about it, at the end of the movie, they did bring that up because she goes, I have two families and one of them is kind of screwed up right now.
Right.
So I do think she's
the end of Black Widow, but none of that is ever alluded to in any of the, in Endgame or Ultron or anything like that. So I was really surprised at her willingness for self-sacrifice, knowing that at the end of this movie, she really does repair her relationship with her adoptive mother
family
and her sister that she's supposedly so close to.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
yeah, no, that is, I didn't
have some questions about that. And like,
yeah, what, because I don't have those questions because I don't see those movies, but
what?
I've never seen
them. You've never, wait a minute. Have you seen Civil War?
I don't think I have.
Oh my God, Melissa. What were you doing during quarantine last year when all of the rest of the world was watching these movies in chronological order?
Me watching like Big Bang Theory and Friends and Bridgerton and Tiger King. That's
but Mark.
But this is
what you're listening. It's time to intervene. You gotta strap her down and make her watch.
Honestly, this is why he gives me crap, because like I will rewatch the same thing over and over and over again. I rewatched Rain, okay? Like that's what I did during quarantine.
Well, I rewatch these movies over and over and over again. Caroline and I have decided that we like Age of Ultron the best. I think Caroline has seen that movie a dozen times, 15 times in the last year. And there's something, I know you were talking about how Mark said when he saw the movie again, he saw different things.
Yeah.
There's so many things I notice, even now when I watch the movie, that I didn't notice before. Watch the movies, like when I rewatch them. You have to, at least now that you've seen this movie, you need to watch Civil War, which is the movie that comes before this, then think about Black Widow, then watch Age of Ultron after it. I feel like, and Age of Ultron's the best because it has the whole scene at Tony Stark's building where they have like a party upstairs. So fun. It's like the moment when Steve Rogers tries to pick up Thor's hammer and it moves just the teeniest bit. I was like texting Mark about that this summer. I'm like, how come that happens? And Mark's like, just wait till you get to Endgame. And I was like, okay.
Yeah, I look, you would think that considering who my husband is, that like I have seen, but
we haven't.
This is one of those things where he knows it's not necessarily my thing. So he doesn't push it. Like I've seen most of the individual movies.
See, okay. So I'm in the same boat, but I don't love them as much. Like I love Paul Rudd as Ant-Man. I love him in all of the Avengers movies. He is clever and he's written well and he's the comic relief that you need at different points. But I didn't love Ant-Man or Ant-Man and the Wasp. Like those were one watches for me and I'm like, no. So however, I could watch Captain America movies over and over and over again. Because I love Chris Evans.
I get it.
But yeah. I also feel that way about Iron Man. Like,
I love the Iron Man movies.
But see, the Iron Man movies once is enough for me.
Oh, like, no. I love those. I don't know why. I honestly don't know why. I love Tony Stark.
Yeah.
I like the swagger of him. I like just his sarcastic snarkiness.
I think we both just named our Marvel boyfriends right here.
I think
here.
We did, actually. Funny enough, because I would have thought for me it would have been Thor because I, like, have a serious crush on Chris Hemsworth. But I think I just like Chris Hemsworth. I don't necessarily like Thor.
Like Thor, right.
Yeah, because I think...
Yeah, he doesn't have a lot of depth.
No, that was what I said. I think he's just... He's eye candy.
Yeah.
Like, and also...
Tony Stark is written as a complex character. Like, he clearly is wrestling with some stuff.
I need brains. What can I say?
Okay, well, it makes it very hard to discuss the connections to the before and after movie if you've not seen the before and after movie.
Well, then, you know what? Maybe we have to do this again and I have to watch
there it. Did I tell you the story about the vest in this movie?
No.
So there's there for, you know, our friends that have seen this movie or have not seen this movie, there's this funny situation between the sisters with where Florence Pugh's character, Yelena, has a vest that is cute and it has lots of zippers and it's like leathery.
It's got pockets. I can pockets.
And she makes a comment to Natasha that this is the first article of clothing she's ever really bought for herself and doesn't she like it? And Natasha's kind of like, I don't know. I mean, yeah, sure. Great vest. She's like, what do you mean? It's a great vest. It has all these pockets. I can carry all this shit in there. I love these pockets, right? At the end of the film, she gives the vest to her sister.
Yeah.
Well, in Age of Ultron, and this is my favorite scene in Age of Ultron. In Age of Ultron, there is a scene where two of the children of Thanos are coming to collect the Soul Stone from Vision. Soul Stone? Yeah, Soul Stone from Vision. I want to be careful because anybody who's really Marvel-y will probably catch any mistakes I make. And they're attacking him in Europe somewhere. I can't remember where they are. And they end up in a train station and it's the moment that Captain America reappears. And it's my favorite Captain America. It's like dark, sexy Captain America. Like he has a beard and his hair's kind of long and he's in like a black Captain America suit and the train goes by and like his theme music plays and all of a sudden it's like, whoa, Chris Evans. Oh, he's such a stud. But guess who's with him? Black Widow is with him. And guess what she's wearing?
Is she wearing the vest?
That vest. And that movie came out years before this one. I'm going to look it up too.
That's I love that attention to detail. I think that's so important.
You're like, that's the vest Yelena gave her. So there are lots of like little tiny, again, Marvel magic things that happen in this film that connect. And it feels, Mark said it perfectly. He was like, this movie felt very phase two. And it did. It was amazing. I loved Falcon and the Winter Soldier. I wish that had been a film, but I also wish Black Widow had been a show. I wanted it to go longer. I'm looking up when Age of Ultron
came out. Do you know, it's interesting though, because we were talking earlier about the Marvel magic and how we've tried to build these strong female characters in the past and they've fallen flat. Interestingly enough, another movie came out this week. And now I can't remember, Milkshake. Mark just watched it. I did not watch it with him. He watched it.
2015, by the way. So Ultron came out in 2015.
Okay. Gunpowder Milkshake.
Okay.
It came out on Netflix this week. And it is strong female character. The really quick synopsis is, to protect an 8-year-old girl, a dangerous assassin reunites with her mother and her lethal associates to take down a ruthless crime syndicate and its army of henchmen. And it's another strong female cast.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I don't know many of these women, but Carla Gugino's in it, Paul Giamatti.
Yeah, Michelle Yeoh was in, Angela Bassett.
Oh, I see her now. Angela Bassett, yeah. Okay.
So there's some, I mean, I think the main women are not as maybe well known, but it's another one. And Mark watched it, and his comment to me was, he thinks it was done better than Black Widow, but it's not family friendly.
Okay. So, well, I was going to say Vulture, I'm just looking at like the top stories. Vulture has kind of a scathing, the women of Netflix Gunpowder Milkshake deserve better.
That's the headline I kept seeing for Black Widow too. And I don't understand that. What do they mean they deserve better? I don't understand. I don't.
I mean, I think it's all about managing expectation. It's like I said earlier, I very much intentionally did not research ahead of time. You know, and that's how everything is. It's what you're looking for. So if you're looking for the greatest film in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, probably not it. Although that comment could be debated to the ends of the earth. People who are
Marvel, everybody's going to have a different.
Right. Everybody has their answer and everybody has a good reason for their answer why their film is the best. But I would not say that this is even a contender for the top three. But it is still an excellent movie and it is still a really awesome step forward as far as what's being created in Hollywood and what's being marketed as a big budget film. And that's really the whole point of our discussion is that we felt validated after years and years of watching the Cameron Diaz version of Charlie's Angels and watching Halle Berry as a Bond girl and watching Elizabeth Perkins in the Flintstones movie. Like, we watched incredible women take on roles that were overtly sexual because it sold.
Yep.
What I have loved about Black Widow and everything around it is that her ferocity and her story has sold.
Yeah.
And she is beautiful and that she is attractive and alluring in many different ways, but that she's more than that. And that we finally got to take our girls to a movie where the female characters overtook the male characters and where everybody has some depth. You know, of course, we talked about how much we would have loved each individual storyline to develop more. I think that's why it would have been great as a
TV
show, because then we could have explored more into Rachel Weisz's character and we could have explored more of Florence Pugh and we could have even done some background on like their father as the Red Guardian and kind of understanding that better, especially for those of us who are losers and didn't read the comic books, who are like, oh, Red Guardian, didn't know that guy, let's Google that, you know?
Yeah.
So there are a lot of things. The ending of the movie was the only real disappointment for me. I found myself wishing when we have this climactic villain monologue, we have all these girls appear on the red screen. And in the last minute before the building blows up, Scarlett types in, da, 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 okay, now we're releasing all these women or whatever. What happens? Like, that's my question. It's like, so then what do these women do? There's this like, okay, you've been freed. And they're like, what do we do now? And she's like, whatever you want. And it's like,
that's
McDonald's or like Barnes and Noble, or like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. Like,
I needed somebody like S.H.I.E.L.D., even though S.H.I.E.L.D. is what it is at this point, to like intervene. I needed a, what is the name? Phil, what is the name of his, that guy that Loki kills with his scepter that like brings all the Avengers together? What is his name?
You're asking
like right now, when Mark listens to this, he's going to die. He's going to
he is. He's going to be like, oh my God, what is happening
here? I do not know his name. He's like yelling it at the screen right now. Agent Coulson, Phil Coulson. What is his real name? Clark Gregg. Okay. So Clark Gregg, he's this guy. I'll show you. That guy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That guy. Okay. I love him.
The guy who like technically brings the Avengers together. He has like greeting cards or whatever. Where was I going with this? I needed someone like him to appear in that moment and wrap that storyline up for me, which is,
but you know
we're
what?
Gonna take those girls in and we're gonna,
but then that becomes the damsel in distress thing.
That's true too. Maybe I needed, you know what? I didn't need him. Maybe I needed, what's her name? Agent Hill, the girl from How I Met Your Mother.
Yes, Colby Smulders.
I needed a female. I needed someone to come in and say, we as an organization recognize that this corrupt organization has been manipulating women. And now we're going to get in and we're going to facilitate jobs, or we're going to facilitate homes, or we're going to, some of them get to work for us now. Some of them get to whatever. Right. Because you took, it was almost like taking away the thing about each of these girls that made them special and saying like, well, you're still a fierce warrior. You just don't have to do that anymore.
You can make a choice.
We didn't give, right, which I loved, but we didn't give them an alternative. But you're, I mean, I totally agree. You're right. This idea that like they get to figure it out now.
Yeah, they get to go figure it out.
Which is true. It just felt sort of unresolved to me. I was like,
I get that.
But where are we going with this? Yeah. Or maybe I needed like a scene of one of them doing something else. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I needed some resolution there.
I get that. I do get that. It's that balance piece, you know?
Right. Where it's a great story. I don't know, but Marvel kind of likes leaving us with lots of questions.
They do.
But that's maybe how they get to have wrap it up, then later in the Hawkeye movie, some of those Black Widows can come back in a
Maybe they work with him.
Exactly. Who knows? Or do something else. Or maybe some of them fall back into evil hands. Who knows?
There we go. We've written the new movie. How about that?
The next one. We did it.
Go on.
Anyway, I felt like the movie was fantastic. I'm super glad I took my kid to see it. I know that there were some aggressive fight scenes, but I didn't feel like it was gratuitous violence.
You know, I was thinking about this because I have a 10-year-old daughter. Mm-hmm. And a 10-year-old daughter is a little different from a 7-year-old daughter.
Right.
Because she's a little bit more in tune to things. And there's a lot of things that Lily gets... they're cringy for her. And it's a lot of like the romantic pieces to that kind of stuff. They get cringy for her. There was never a time in this movie I saw my daughter get cringy.
Yeah.
And I liked that. I liked that she saw a strong female who cared about her family, who protected her family, who cared, you know, did all of those nurturing things that women are associated with and didn't have to have a boy that she was making out with. And I thought
At no point.
Because the other side of it is, you know, and like this brings me to, you know, you and I are good Southern women. And we know that you're supposed to be married young and you don't have to worry about your career because you're going to marry well and he's going to take care of you and you're going to take care of him, because that's how we were, you know, that's what good Southern women do.
Because that's what our mothers did.
Because that's what our mothers did.
And that's not what either of us did.
No, it's not what either of us did. But I love that my daughter gets to see and gets to now create that life for herself. Because like in all truthfulness, it's hysterical. Like I can remember being asked when I was 10, like, what do you want to do when you grow up? I've always wanted to be a teacher. That's no question. But it's like, I was going to have a family and I was going to be a teacher and it was going to be great. You know what my daughter tells me? I'm going to travel the world. Are you okay? She's like, I don't need to get married because that'll keep me from traveling the world. I'm going to travel the world.
Yeah.
Okay. And so here's this woman now who went and did it. And it makes me feel good that she's getting to see that what her choice is not shunned.
Because yeah, I like that it felt socially acceptable too.
Yes.
I'm not suggesting that there weren't movies in the 80s and 90s where women were powerful, but if you think about like the movie Working Girl that had
Melanie. That's the one I was just gonna, I'm glad you brought that, because that was
the one I was thinking. 9 to 5 with Dolly Parton. And then I was even thinking about Erin Brockovich with these fiercely powerful female leads who had to be sorry that they were who they were.
Like they apologized for
story is about how she dresses and what she does and how much adversity she has to face. Same thing with 9 to 5, same thing with Working Girl. It's all about the adversity, right?
Yep.
There was none of that. That wasn't even part of the storyline. It was just, this is who she is and this is what she does. And we don't have to fight a man because she is this. And that has been, I think, the biggest change in the last 20 to 25 years in what to see from strong women versus what they used to see from strong women.
And, you know, that makes me think about, you know, they've done all these reboots of movies like Ghostbusters with the all female cast and all that, and how they tank and they do horribly. And I think it's because as women, we don't want to see the same story retold with female leads. We want our own characters.
Right. We can see the old one through a better lens. Like, I'm okay watching, you know, Dan Aykroyd be Dan Aykroyd.
Dan Aykroyd,
You know what I mean? I don't need somebody else to do it for him.
It's not, I was gonna say, it's not about putting females in the leads. It's about creating female leads, and it's about creating female empowerment. And it's about creating, And I think that that's something that doesn't happen. And maybe because most movies are made by men. And here we have a movie that was very much, I mean, led by women. It was directed by a woman. It was produced by a woman. It was acted in by strong women. So maybe that's what the difference is. And for so long, women, if they want to be directors, producers, and things like that, they're pushed to do romantic comedies and things like that. You know, Reese Witherspoon has made great movies and she's producing great movies, but she doesn't want to do kick-ass movies. She wants to do.
Right. And everybody has their niche. Like,
right.
Efron is who she is. Nancy Myers is who she is. And don't get me wrong. I love You've Got Mail and I love Father of the Bride.
Yeah.
It's a balance. I don't mean to suggest by any means that Black Widow is the only style of movie that should exist. No.
But this goes.
There have to be choices for our kids.
And what I was going to say, and this goes back to when we started this conversation, and my thing was, I want to be able to make the choice I've made to be a more traditional woman. I love being the caretaker in my home. I love taking care of my husband and my children and being that teacher that I am and being that nurturer. And that's what I want for women. You know what I mean? Like, I had a moment where it broke my heart a little bit that my daughter at 10 years old, this is psycho of me, but you know, my daughter at 10 years old isn't, you know, gushing about wanting to be a mom when she grows up. That was like, oh, did I do something wrong? But then I realized, no, I want to be that person. She doesn't have to be that person. It doesn't make her any less of an amazing human being.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, I think we do subtle things every day as parents outside of just taking our kids to the movies that tell our parents or tell our kids what's okay based on what their parents see. And, I don't know. I mean, I kind of feel with Lily, like I can remember telling my mom that I didn't want to have children when I grew up and my mom thinking that was like horrible. And she was like, oh, don't say that. You don't mean that, whatever. And now I'm 34 years old and I'm done. And I had one child and I unapologetically had one child because that's the choice I wanted to make. And it's interesting, speaking of childbearing, that comes up in the movie. The girls make a comment about how their choice is taken from them in the bedroom because they are given an involuntary hysterectomy. And that part of the movie was small, but needed to be said.
It did.
In this world where we know how important choice is.
Look, we can
how you can choose to be my own sister who has had 5 babies and is a stay-at-home mom, or you can choose to be me, who is one child, master's degree, absolutely not going to have more children because I'm happy with the life that I have. I want to be able to do other things, just like Lily, who feels like
I don't need that yet.
Right.
You know, it's so interesting how all this ties back into pop culture, real world. What's the big controversy right now? Free Britney. What was the big thing she said? I was told I could not have children and I was forced into birth control.
Yep.
You know, like this is a real thing because that's what happens to women.
Right.
By men. And like not to even go there, but like our government does the same thing.
Exactly. I love that you're like, not together, but I am going to go there.
I'm going to say it out loud. Our government does
the same. I hate to even say that it's a liberal discussion anymore. I feel like it's just like a societal discussion
these it's days. A human rights thing at right. this point in time. Right.
And that coming up in the film, I felt like was really important. It was done with like a little hint of humor, the mm-hmm. way they said it to their father or whatever, because he makes some sort of like grotesque man comment about like, are you pissy because you're on your period?
Yes.
And they immediately clap back and they're like, no, you piece of trash. You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
So those kinds of things were done well, because as a mom, you kind of roll your eyes. But as a kid, you don't really hear that. Does that make sense?
Like, no, are you kidding?
It hasn't come up with, at least with Caroline, I'm sure it hasn't come up with Lily either. Like, whatever. Maybe
not. But conversations like that have come up in my home because
right.
I have a 10
year old. But I just mean, like, that was such a small scene in the movie that it's not like Caroline came out asking me, like, so what is she talking about when she said?
Good example. Jonas didn't even pick up on it.
Right.
So a 7-year old boy.
If you're 10 or if you're 13 and you are at that point in your life, then those things stick out to you more. And yep. it's important to have them in the movie.
Yeah.
I don't know. Overall, I was thrilled with it. I will absolutely love watching it again when it's released for free on Disney.
I was going to say when it's not the $30 premiere access thing. Yeah.
I also loved seeing it in the theater. We've been out of the movie theater for so long. I feel like if you haven't gone back, that's like a great movie to go back.
Yeah. Do it.
Action packed with good story. And definitely worth seeing. And yeah, and overall, I'm excited to see how the fandom grows for this movie over the next few years, because I feel like that's one of the cool things about Marvel movies is that people fall in love with them years later. I mean, I never saw Endgame in the theater. I didn't see Infinity Wars in the theater. I didn't watch any of those until they were on Disney Plus and I had it. And now I'm like, podcasting about a Marvel movie. So they get you
with me. no, I totally understand. But I, funny enough, maybe when I'm not reading my book, because I'm now on a different one, I finished that one last night. And now we're on a different one, but that's another story.
Our next entertainment podcast, The Summer of the Romance Novel.
Oh my gosh. All right. So anyway, but it does lead me to say maybe Mark is right. And maybe I need to stop rewatching, Big Bang Theory and Friends and Family Guy and put on a movie, which I don't ever do because I'm a passive watcher of things. That's what it is. But maybe I need to go explore this stuff a little bit more.
Yeah. And if you're doing that, I know it sounds weird, but I think if you're like, if you're not really a Marvel fan and you're becoming a Marvel fan, my recommendation is to start with the Avengers movies that have all of them in it.
Yeah.
We started, and then each of us in our family was able to kind of pick the character that we were the most interested in. And then we sort of started to branch off. And Caroline very much fell in love with Black Widow. And so she was like, well, what are the other movies that she's in? And I was like, well, Winter Soldier, she's huge in Winter Soldier. We can watch that one. And then we started to say, like, all right, let's watch them in chronological order. I think watching the Avengers movies, I think there's four of them, watching those four Avengers movies first makes watching it in chronological order easier because you become very attached to them.
And then you figure,
right. And then you're like, you have questions and you're like, well, why does he act like that? And then you watch his movie and you're like, oh, well, that explains.
That makes sense. That's part of it.
Especially with Mark right next to you to answer all your questions. Like that's how Mark and I became friends is that like, as soon as we started watching them and you gave me his number, I was like on demand, like Marvel Google. I was like,
oh my gosh. And can I tell you, like you and I have had this conversation about my husband, what's the way to his heart, attention or food? And so now, like, I think you're probably my favorite. You are his favorite of my friends.
He is my favorite spouse of all the spouses I know. He's my favorite because having a conversation with him, like, I don't know, it sounds weird to be like, we're having a fantasy conversation, but like, he is such an enthusiast for stories too. He likes a good story.
Well, okay. So something that you don't know and maybe his audience doesn't know, he is a writer. You know, his degree, really? his undergraduate degree was creative writing.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
And he wanted to be a producer of movies.
He is a
student of the story, which is why when you sit with him and he tells you about your day, you feel like you're watching like some epic movie because that's how he just talks. And so for anybody, you know, who just deals with him and listens to him, you're like, oh my God. but that's, he loved.
Like, I feel like on last Sunday when we were eating, I don't know what we were talking about. He started talking about like what's next in Marvel.
Yeah.
And I just put my hands on the table and I was like, yes, professor, I'm listening.
Yeah. And that's,
I mean, sucks you in.
He does. He sucks you in. He does. That's how he tricked me into marrying him. But you know, so anyway, with that being said, any other last final comments?
So fun. Thanks for including me.
Of course. I really enjoyed doing this. I will never let Mark, well, he'll see this and then know, but I would never admit to him that I enjoyed this more than I did. And as I do now understand probably more why he does this. It's nice to have dedicated talk time to something that you found interesting. And to share that with other people is kind of fun too. So, but yeah. So with that, I'm Melissa Radulich. That is Elizabeth Faust. Thank you guys for joining us.
Thank you.